on the tracks. Organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the racks. And all the billionaires had to learn.
This is the Quality News Network.
Lebanese peacekeeping forces are now stationed near the border with Israel for the first time in nearly 40 years. When a military jeep drove into a Hezbollah stronghold today, troops were greeted with some large banners that criticized U.S. policy, others that declared Lebanon won the war. In Israel, some returning soldiers say they were hindered by lack of communication, training, and equipment. One infantryman is quoted as saying, "We fought for nothing." UN peacekeepers are expected to begin joining the Lebanese forces in the next 2 weeks. More countries have pledged to send troops to help with peacekeeping duties. France has pledged 400, and Bangladesh says it will send 2,000. Finland says it will contribute 250, but not until November. Meanwhile, Hezbollah militants are handing out cash, up to $12,000, to compensate people for the damage and destruction to their homes. Much of that money is believed to be provided from Iran. Near Baghdad today, a guard was killed and another injured when gunmen attacked a civilian truck convoy. Also, 77 people were detained across Iraq as part of the security crackdown. The New York Times reports that evidence may have been withheld or destroyed in the investigation of the killings of Iraqi civilians by Marines last November. Pentagon officials are investigating the incident, which claimed the lives of 24 Iraqis. None of the Marines has been charged yet. At Camp David today, President Bush said that he's confident a federal judge's ruling that the warrantless wiretap program is unconstitutional would be overturned on appeal. He called those who hailed the ruling naive and that they, quote, do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. In Cuba, acting President Raul Castro has made his first public comments since temporarily taking over power from his brother Fidel. He said Cuba remains open to normalized relations with the U.S., but opposes the, quote, arrogant and interventionist policy frequently assumed by the current administration. In Canada, the end of the 16th International Conference of AIDS was marked with a scathing criticism of South Africa's government. One speaker said it is the only country that remains negligent in offering treatment for the disease. And scientists now say it'll take longer than expected for the ozone layer to heal itself. Damaged by chemical compounds and other activity, the layer that protects against overexposure to UV rays is now expected to take until 2065.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
British Petroleum says half of the oil production from Alaska's Prudhoe Bay, or 200,000 barrels a day, has been restored. That comes less than 2 weeks after the oil company threatened to shut down the entire field to repair corroded pipelines. Apple Computer says it will enforce overtime limits after discovering many workers at a Chinese factory are working more than 60 hours a week. The issue was brought to light by a British newspaper. Microsoft has announced a nearly $4 billion stock buyback plan. It's reportedly part of a larger repurchase program. Boeing will shut down production of its C-17 cargo planes because Congress has not authorized any new purchases. Thousands of workers in Southern California could be affected by the decision. Ford has announced a temporary shutdown of U.S. and Canadian plants. The company says fewer trucks are being sold because of high gas prices. Smucker's quarterly profits are down 4% due to the sale of its Canadian operations, but the company's revenue grew 3% in the same period. Nordstrom's has posted a 20% jump in profit and an 8% jump in sales. And Barnes & Noble has posted a jump in second quarter earnings despite lower sales. That's partly due to lower prices for materials and rent. Light sweet crude settled today at $71.14. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is up 46 points, NASDAQ up 6, S&P 500 up 5. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Welcome to Head On with Bob Kincaid, brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights, building the American dream and supporting the American dream. Get on the horn and call 1-877-443-2366. Now, here are guest hosts John Fox and Bruce Birch.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Head On with Bob Kincaid, and taking the wheel again for the second time this week, you have John Fox down here in Sydney, and Bruce Birch will be joining us in just a bit, because, well, the guy should get a break after doing his own show before coming and, you know, filling in. But anyway, manning production in West Virginia is Agnes Kincaid, as usual, by the Carpenters and Millwrights of West Virginia. What are we going to do today? We're going to do whatever you want today. We got a few things kind of set up and ready to go. I got some hysterical Australian audio. I've had some on the show before, you know, some stuff from these guys from The Chaser, which is a little media program down here that's an absolute riot. And we'll get to that, but I want to save that for when Bruce gets here. But these guys had a little bit of a test of... airport security.
You want to save it for me, huh?
Ha, ha, ha! There he is! There he is!
Did I scare you? Did I scare you? Sorry, John. I had to fix a situation that was going on, and I'm probably going to have to take off a little bit later to go run an errand. But since I can wait, a little while before I do that, I figured I'd just go ahead and come on, and then I'll take care of that a little bit later. Man, dude, Bob left us with the keys again.
You might live to regret this after a while.
I say we take it out for a joyride. What do you think?
I'm kind of hoping we can do a little bit of the front porch tradition here for Friday. I hope we get lots of calls. But mate, I tell you, last night Gail and I were kicking back, and you know, here it's Saturday morning already, and you know, it's Friday night, so. About the only thing decent that pops up on television aside from imported BBC cop shows is this thing, The Chaser. And these guys just really push the envelope. And I believe that a bunch of them used to be, you know, media students at uni together. And they push it. We'll just go straight into this. Okay. They decided, you know, let's test airport security. So these guys went and online booked two tickets under the names Al Qaeder and Terry Wrist. What's up, Al?
As in the name Al, A-L-Al.
Al Qaeder.
Al Qaeder.
My name's Al Qaeder.
And Terry Wrist. I love it.
Terry Wrist, as in... Where was Bart Simpson when all this was going on?
Well, this made the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, and they even said that it was a Bart Simpson-like stunt. But the producers said that they were even going to give Bart Simpson a credit for it just because of his kind of prank phone calls. But, Agnes, just... If you've got it ready, please go ahead and run that Chaser audio. It's not very long. This is hysterical.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, airports worldwide have introduced some tough new restrictions on carry-on luggage. The only thing you're allowed to take into the cabin now are clear plastic bags.
Yeah, they're even enforcing this for sick bags as well, which really sucks. Yeah. It's not good.
Of course, the other thing that people are talking about is the idea of profiling passengers to try and screen out Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, I'm not so sold on the idea myself. I mean, it's not like you can just pick a terrorist just by the way they look or by the sound of their name.
Well, not unless their name was something as blatant as, say, Terry Wrist or Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, which just happens to be the names we used to book some domestic tickets this week to see just how lax security for our local flights is.
And as you can see here, with an e-ticket, I could just pick up a boarding pass. No problems there, no photo ID required. Headed straight through to the boarding gate. And then when I didn't board the flight, they even paged me.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the final boarding call for Miss Mia Call, Paul Franklin, Al-Qaeda, and Terry Wrist, all travelling to Melbourne today. Virgin Blue Flight 822.
Paging Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. And after all, if Al-Qaeda's calling our country, we want to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and you can actually go to the CityMorningHerald.com. It's smh.com.au, and you can find the Al-Qaeda Virgin, Al-Qaeda's Virgin on the Ridiculous. And they actually show the boarding pass, a photo of it going, Qaeda slash Al. And they even open up. It's a prank Bart Simpson would be proud of. After several controversial stunts, including trying to flog knuckle dusters outside a Bulldogs rugby league game and approaching the Prime Minister John Howard with an oversized axe, ABC TV's Chaser Boys have struck again. There was a thing in the media about a month ago where some guy, while Howard's on one of his little walks with the media, comes up and hugs him, and the guy's got a screwdriver in his hand, right? His Secret Service guys don't make any notice. So a week later, the chaser decides to see what they could get away with carrying and still get up and hug the Prime Minister. So the guy's up there with this battle axe and goes, "I love you," and they let him in.
Let him in with the battle axe.
Well, yeah.
What does that say about the security detail? How much do they like their boss? You know what I'm saying?
How much of this is all theater, Bruce? Brings me straight back there. You know, I. How much of this is all, you know, just a bunch of theater? This whole terror threat, you know.
How much of it? Let's. Well, you know, it's. How much of it, John? Come on, man. How long have I known? How much of it? Okay, let's start at 100% and work our way up, okay?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing, you know, and even there's... You obviously, I heard you earlier on your show, you know, saying that you had been listening to Malloy last night. And, you know, why was someone from Homeland Security in Indonesia announcing the charges against this guy? Right? Like, seriously, for this family, I hope, you know, this is over for them. You know, I mean, this has been just one of the most disgusting kind of, you know, bottom feeding type of media things around this family and what happened to this little girl, you know. And to suddenly have the closure be suspect. You know, and I'm suspect of it. You know, is this just another? Was this pulled up as a red herring? Sorry, you know, I mean, I'm that critical these days. You know, I'm that distrusting. You know, where did this come from? You know, it just seems to be so out of the blue, like a terror threat.
It's,
you know,
it's terrorism. It's terrorism. It's terrorism. We got. Now, don't be making fun of my terrorism. Now, let me ask you this. Is terrorism, is that like a disease of the earth? Like terrorism? Okay, let me just be quiet. This is not... I did some bad puns in the chat room earlier, too. I got to tell you, John, I did some bad puns in the chat room earlier, and I was duly chastised by those who were there. Now, if you want to get in on the show today, You can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also come to our chat room at headonradionetwork.com and join us in that chat room, and then later on perhaps go down to powersandmorrison.com and check them out. They've got a chat room there too. We got a bunch of new listeners, John.
You've been over to that chat room over there? Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. They have a wonderful... It is rocking. It's smoking. It's rocking. It's jazzy. It's got some good stuff going on.
And they got cool little icons and stuff. You know, we've got the emoticons. We've got all the fun stuff for on that angle. But yeah, and it seems like they've really created a neat little community over there. Kind of, you know, very organically the way that I think we have, you know, with the horn here. But I tell you what I'm looking forward to, man, and that was such a surprise to hear you announce it on your show, is that we got Dave Rovics tonight. I'm really stoked about
that. Yes, we do. We have David Rovics on. He's going to be on about in the right at the 9 o'clock hour. I called him up today, and I was like, yo, Dave, what's happening? He's like, hey, Bruce. He goes, what's going on? I said, no, you tell me, man. What's happening? Anyway, we went back and forth for like 5 minutes like that. And then I was like, hey, Are you interested in doing some radio? He's like, always for you, always for. So he was like so happy to. Now he's got an album coming out soon called Halliburton Boardroom Massacre. I mean, isn't that a great title? I mean, if for no other reason than to be able to take the CD cover out and staple it to your wall, right? But but it's a great album. I've heard a lot of the music on it. It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to talking with him again tonight. Actually, I'm going to let you interview him probably more tonight than I would, because I talk to him all the time. Dave and I are old friends now.
I know. And what was kind of interesting is, you know, Anthony Lowenstein was over here the other day. We were doing some stuff for his book site, and I had just never gotten around to ever showing Anthony any of Dave Rovics' music. So I played After the Revolution, which I swear, man, that song still, how many hundreds of times have I heard it? It still makes my throat close up. It's just one of the most wonderful bits of writing I know in recent memory. And Anthony heard it, and he goes, oh, my God, I swear to God, that's got to be the first time I've ever heard Gaza mentioned in a song lyric. And he's probably right.
You're absolutely, yeah, and actually, just so that you know, you're being, John, the folks in the chat room are saying, hi, Australia, and we're being reminded that you like to call the Kanga Skippy. So, I don't know, I just thought I'd share.
Skippy could make an appearance. I'll see if I can get him away from the bottle long enough. but I think we should take a break here, Bruce. What do you reckon?
Let's do that, and when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 1-877-443-2366. You can also email us. All the complaints go to John at fourthestateradio.com. And all the, you know, okay, you can send either one of us. It doesn't matter. Bruce at BruceBirch.com either way. This is the Head On Radio Network. John and Bruce covering for Bob Kincaid. Head On with Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Times are strange. We got a free upgrade for snakes on a plane. I don't care. Pop the cheap champagne. We're going down in flames. Hey, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it.
This is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Hi. My name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community. Because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Homeland Security Advisory System is designed to provide warnings as the risk of terrorist attacks increases. If the severe condition signified in red is declared, it's recommended that you avoid public gathering places or other high-profile locations. Public transportation may be impacted, and non-essential public and government facilities may be closed. Go to the Homeland Security website at www.dhs.gov for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida broadcasters, and this radio station.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution. Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
All right, you're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and Bob Kincaid is not in the studio tonight. He's traveling, and instead, John Fox and I are covering the show. Now, we were around the house today, and we were looking underneath the, under the mat and over the top of the door and under the flower pot. We finally found the key to the show, didn't we, John?
Yeah, man. I just really enjoy this slot for some reason. It's always just, I don't know, there's something very, very cool about it. And the fact that, our other show is on hiatus at the moment, it's kind of nice to be able to get in front of the microphone a bit.
Right on. I know I enjoy it.
Do we still have Gunny Bob on the line, Agnes? Gunny Bob, you there?
We do.
Before I forget.
Hey, John.
Hey, Bob, Sarge. How are you?
Are you there, Sarge?
Yeah, I'm here. I just want to say g'day to my mate from Down Under. G'day.
It's been a long time, mate. It's been a long time.
I know. Hey, you do good work. You do good work, and you just keep on plugging, and you keep on punching forward and trying to move this doggone thing into something that'll work, and you guys are doing a great job, John.
Well, and thank you, man. And
I miss you. I do. But then
I was thinking about you last night. There was a big Vietnam vets memorial service here in Australia yesterday.
Oh my God! I was going to ask you about the Aussie brothers. I was going to ask you about them because.
And this is what's interesting, Bob, and I hope that this will give you a little bit of heart. There's a whole bunch of vets that were being denied that they were where they were in one of the worst battles that the Australians took losses in Vietnam, and I don't have the dates or the battle in front of me. And there is a whole new fight to have their cases reopened because they've been denied the services that they deserved. And people are not happy about it.
I understand. Hey, they're not the only ones that are being denied right now.
Yeah, but I was interested to see that suddenly this came back up. I wasn't expect, it just seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. But a few MPs are getting right behind it and saying that, you know, this really needs to be looked at again. And the burden of proof shouldn't have to be on the veteran when the defense force holds all the information.
Isn't
so there's
true?
A whole bunch of and there's a whole bunch of I was really kind of heartened, and it seemed that some of these guys who were denied think that they might finally get some recognition. And I mean, you know, it's always going to be too little too late, but you know, hopefully, you know, they can at least write it before too much more time goes by.
Interesting, really. More than interesting, because, you know, I fought side by side with some of them boys out there on that Cambodian border. I did that, and then up there in Laos, we used to take them over there and drop some of them Aussies off for the listening post and send them into the Ho Chi Minh Trail, because they weren't American. And we used to use them for LPs, what they called listening posts. And some of them, we never got to retrieve them or even their bodies. So there's a lot of things that have been buried or hidden or lied about since Nixon and beyond. So to my brothers, and I mean my Australian brothers, men that did the impossible for the ungrateful and are now just maybe now getting a little bit of recognition. Kudos, guys. Just, hey, from me to you, I know you. I stood with you, and I fought side by side with you. And people that would say, we don't exist, we know we do, even though they deny our existence. Period. Oh, that's a period, John. John? John?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here.
Hey, you're stepping into the same hole that Bruce does. You know? If you're calling me, sir, don't do it. It ain't going to get you nowhere with me.
Oh, that, you know, you see, and we've had this conversation. We've had this conversation before, Bob, and that we've had this conversation before. And I know I'm crossing the line, and you're right to call me up on it. But it's my military school training when I went to military school. And not only that, you know, and it's a habit. And so, Sarge,
okay,
I take it all back.
That works good. That works good with me. I like that, because my boys never called me sir. Not after boot camp. I told them, I ain't no god darn GD sir. I am a sergeant. I earned my stripes, and I came up from where you came. And I ain't going to take no BS. And I follow orders if they're lawful and legal. I will not have my men commit an illegal act. And that's the way I always was. If it's immoral, unjust, or illegal, it will not happen in my squad, my platoon, my company. And I don't give a hoot and heck who the man that says you got to go out there and murder women and children. You ain't going to do it under my watch. You know? And some of these boys, I'm sorry. No.
I was just going to say, Bob, I just want what you just said to transcend. I just want it to transcend.
I wish these young NCOs and staff NCOs and sergeants and master sergeants, gunnery sergeants and sergeant majors and, you know, and first sergeants would take that to heart. Just step into my boots and realize that you can't do these things not in the name of liberty and justice. If you're doing injustice, you are the enemy of all mankind. And I mean that.
You got it, Sarge. And back and in Vietnam, one of the things that finally kicked things over were the fact that our servicemen started to refuse.
That's right. See, that's what people don't know. Because in 72, We had battalions that refused to go out. We had battalions that said, we will not go on that op.
Oh, and almost everywhere where there were Americans serving, there were underground military press leaflets and newspapers going out protesting the war and saying that they didn't like it. But, Bob, we got to take our bottom-of-the-hour break. Do you want to hang on?
No. I'll let you guys go. I just want to let you know I'm not totally insane. I'm just over the top and slipped down into the valley. Huh?
The last thing we think you are is insane. We love you, man. And
you bring something
no one else does.
Hey. You know, I ain't God. I ain't never even talked to God, and God never talked to me. You know? I don't got no press pass into the White House.
Nope.
Huh? I'm not even on some strange press network where I get to call myself George Gannon or Jeff Bush. I'm not sure. See, that's the problem with everybody. They got these crazy ideas that if you show up on a network, you are somebody. And hey, guys, you are the top. You are the best.
Thanks,
hey.
All right, buddy. We will.
That means a lot coming from you, Bob. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, love you guys. Keep up the good
work. Love you too, man.
See you later.
Take care. All right, we're gonna go straight out to this break, Bruce. You're listening to John and Bruce filling in for Bob Kincaid on Head on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back to Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid, filling the chair this evening, John Fox and Bruce Birch. Bruce has stepped out for a bit to go and take a little bit of a break, and that there was Australia's Killing Heidi. You might remember them from way, way back, and, well, they had that was a track that they wrote for the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack, and great album that they put out with that. It was really nice to see them come back with bit of maturity and whatnot, but a really, really good record and one of the nicest groups of people I've ever had the pleasure of working for. Anyway, and it's a musical night. We're going to have Dave Rovics on in the next hour, which will be just absolutely awesome. And our computer guys just popped into our chat with one of his classic screen names. Oh, you're right. Anyway, from Raw Story. Is it me or modern politics just seem to be like, you know, schoolyard bully fights and name calling, right? So, like, I don't really even have a response to this, but it just shows the to me, this is just completely immature. And I say,
you are one of mine.
It's just nonsense. Anyway, Bush official says environmentalists want funerals for trees. A former timber industry lobbyist who serves as agriculture undersecretary for the Bush administration likened environmentalists to funeral pallbearers. He said, quote, "There are people who think that every tree should be named and hugged before being cut and then taken out by pallbearers," said Mark Ray, Undersecretary for Natural Resources and the Environment, to a regional council in Montana yesterday. Ray made the comment while speaking of a costly forest thinning project in the Nevada Tahoe Basin. In his president capacity, the one-time lobbyist is responsible for managing national forests and grasslands, along with projects involving millions of acres of publicly owned lands across the country. I as one of those people that he would wrap into that tree hugger thing, as a tree hugger myself, you're an immature twat. And, you know, timber industry lobbyist turned agriculture undersecretary. I mean, come on. In the world of Bruce and John, that definitely qualifies as opposite world. Jackass. Sorry. I mean, you know, this is the most important issue we face, is this planet. And to have morons like this, absolute, self-serving, careless, thieving, planet raping sons of bitches. You know, and I have a little knowledge of the paper industry due to family connections, and I won't get into that. But these people just want to rape and pillage this planet for cheap wood and paper to sell crap. Anyway, I just, you know, when does this kind of nonsense end? When are we going to finally get serious about the fact that, you know, I can imagine, you know, a right-winger going, no, it's all about the war, it's all about the war. The war is an environmental threat. Got an idea for you. You know all this problem about peak oil, which is real, and the fact that, you know, we're hungering for 10 billion barrels of oil. Tell you what, stop all this war, and the supply is going to last a lot longer. Just, you know. And also remember, in this Iraq war, as opposed to the last one, we're picking up the petrol tab. Last time, I believe it was the Japanese did. Just think about that cost alone. But I mean, you know, our producer says, you know, they're still stripping mountains there in West Virginia. You know, things are caving in. You know, we got to get so, you know, I mean, the mindset is just so completely wrong when you have, you know, a paid whore appointed to the very department that would have been overseeing the industry it was lobbying for. Hello? Are we starting to pick up on this thing here? You know, and I'm hoping that this decision that came down over the wiretapping is just, you know, the first, you know, nail in the coffin. Really. I mean, it's just, how much longer are we going to continue to listen to their mouthpieces try and tell us what the truth is? You know, I've gotten to the point when it comes to the environment that I don't have the patience for the stupidity that I used to. And I get into some confrontational conversations, you know. I ask people, when was the last time you went off-road with that 4x4? Own a boat? Horse trailer? Or is it just a penis extension and your status symbol? I mean, come on, let's get our priorities right. I'm serious, Agnes. I'm dead serious. You know, here in Australia even, you know, I'm just walking back from doing grocery shopping last night, and it's like 3 out of 5 cars parked on the street is some sort of 4x4 vehicle. It's just nonsense. And what do these people need it for? You're in suburban Sydney. It's not like these people are going to the outback. It's not like these people have a farm. And then you get these stupid excuses going, well, it's the only way that I can get all my kids in. Buy a station wagon. Get a minivan. All right, we're coming up on a break, so if you want to get on the program, you can dial in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You can email me, John, at Fourth Estate Radio. That's J-O-N at fourthestateradio.com. We're going to take a little break here and come back and, I don't know, hopefully take some phone calls, talk some more stuff. This is John Fox helping fill in for, Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today. In our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. Yes, I will. Keep on singing by.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next? That's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right. It's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bob's still on the road, so Bruce and John are filling in the chair. Bruce is taking a bit of a breather at the moment, so John's holding down the fort here. And no, I won't back down. I was just listening to that track yesterday, Agnes. Love Tom Petty. you know, he's just kind of like one of those quiet geniuses, you know. He's been everywhere, you know. He's done everything and never really made much of a big deal of himself. Played with some of the greatest, you know. But anyway, I think Bruce is going to be upset that he's going to miss this one, but he's probably seen it. I wonder what the family values people would make of this. Now, Via the Raw Story, one of the best websites, seems as though gay star of adult films to entertain Israeli troops. I'm sorry. A star of gay pornographic films is traveling to Israel to entertain the troops and shoot two films. Michael Lucas, head of Lucas Entertainment, is planning to give troops free admission to a live sex show in Tel Aviv. It will be his third appearance there. So this is, I hope you're getting where I'm going with this. And he says, I've toured Israel before with Rob Ramos in 2004, Wilfred Knight. I haven't decided yet who will be my partner for the live sex show I'm doing there. Israel has no problem with this type of entertainment. So I'm just wondering how, you know, those Christian fundamentalists who back Israel so strongly, whether or not they realize that the Israeli IDF is being treated to a free live sex show. And not only that, it's a gay one! Oh! And he says, people need to see the faces of war. I don't know exactly how this accomplishes that, but hey, there you go. you know, and like, I don't have any problem myself with this kind of show, but, you know, I mean, if you're espousing one thing, wowzer. No, and I don't think Janet Jackson's piercing will be involved there, but... Anyway, you can check that out at the Raw Story. Oh my. Before we went to the break, I was having a bit of a rant on the environment, and that just kind of made me think about the fact that coming hopefully in a few weeks, I'll be launching my daily show. And some of you may have caught the little test run of a thing called Foxed Up that we did a couple of months ago. And we kind of came to the idea that we will definitely have an environmental focus on the program. And I've already done some of the groundwork for that, and that's you know, got some interesting things. Looks like I probably will have some people who are into green construction and green living and whatnot, who will come on and talk with us and, you know, learn how to build a cob house and how can you actually do viable solar power and water brands, that kind of thing. But I'd like to put an open call out there. My email address, use the regular one, John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. And drop me, if you have ideas, what you'd like to see in an environmental program. You can suggest, you know, if there are sources, web sources and things that you think are just really good, or groups that are doing, you know, work that I might not know of, please send me things. 'Cause I think we're ready for a daily reminder of how important it is to fight to clean this mess up and stop burning this little marble right out of existence. So, you know, if you have any ideas, email, you know, send them in an email, john@fourthestateradio.com. I'd love to get ideas, sources, people you think you'd want to hear interviewed, whatever. Because I definitely don't know everything. I'm just a traveler trying to pick up whatever I can, wherever I can. You know, and I've spoken at length on that program when we did the test run that my partner and I, our grand plan is to, you know, hand build our own house out of green and recycled materials and try and get completely off the grid. Stop generating our electricity off of the public grid. You know, if the industries aren't going to lead the way, then the people have to. You know, we got to do it because we're the ones that keep blindly letting the damage be done without thinking about what we're doing. You know, and just it's way past time. You know, we should have been listening to Jimmy Carter in the 70s. You know, he actually had it right. He had it right, and he had some really good concrete ideas for moving forward. And if we had actually taken some of those things on then about lowering our usage, we would be in a different position now. You know, and the Gulf Coast wouldn't be freaking out as we're getting ready to head into hurricane season. Because the strength of those storms, the evidence is pretty clear. It's because of what we've done to this planet. But it's up to us. Anyway, I'm going to stop all that ranting. You know, we got a bunch of stuff coming up in the second hour. I think Bruce is about finishing up his dinner. And when we come back after the news and all that kind of jazz, we're going to end up having the one, the only David Rovics, who you know as being the composer and singer of the song that closes out Bruce Birch's show after the revolution. And he writes some of the... Oh, pardon me. It's another hour ahead. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, that'll be in the next hour thing. Anyway, but we're going to do that. Bruce will be popping back in, and we'll be talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. I've got a story. Yes, Bruce, next squared. I have a story about, you know, we had the little thing against Bush's NSA thing in the States. Well, yesterday here in Australia, the Australian anti-terror laws took a bit of a whack in the knees. And we'll talk about that after we come back from the news. You can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You know, jump in the chat room. You got to go to headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat link. Dive in the pool. Got some of the greatest people in there. And I haven't had a chance to say it yet. Bye, LaPro. And with that, we'll take this break. Bruce and I'll be back after the news. This is Head On. I want to stop the war because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave.
This is the Quality News Network. As Lebanese troops gathered near the Israeli border, mass funerals were held for Lebanese residents. A Hezbollah leader accused the U.S. of providing Israel with weapons and indirectly helping to commit massacres. In Israel, some soldiers returning from the conflict say they were hindered by lack of communication, training, and equipment. One infantryman is quoted as saying, "We fought for nothing." Others say the army was slow to rescue wounded soldiers. An Israeli newspaper reported that some soldiers bled to death and food supplies were slow to arrive because commanders feared helicopters would be shot down. The United Nations has so far received pledges of nearly 4,000 troops to make up the 15,000-strong peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon. They're expected to begin deploying in the next 2 weeks. Neither the U.S. nor Britain will provide troops. In Israel, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has suspended plans for an Israeli withdrawal from some parts of the West Bank. The plan is reportedly only being put on hold, not terminated entirely. Israeli media quoted government officials as saying they need to direct resources to the north. Near Baghdad today, a guard was killed and another injured when gunmen attacked a civilian truck convoy. Also, 77 people were detained across Iraq as part of the security crackdown, and weapons were seized at a Baghdad mosque. In Pakistan, an intelligence official has informed the U.S. that the mastermind of the London terror plot is believed to be hiding somewhere in Afghanistan. A British suspect who was arrested in Pakistan reportedly provided that information. Also, the BBC reports that authorities have found several videos similar to the kind left behind by suicide bombers. They were reportedly discovered on the laptops owned by some of the 23 suspects being held in the case. In Washington, a U.S. official says North Korea is not likely to test a nuclear bomb. That comment followed reports by ABC News of suspicious vehicle activity at a suspected North Korean test site. At Camp David today, President Bush urged participants in the six-party nuclear talks to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear program. He also warned that if North Korea conducted a nuclear bomb test, it would pose a world threat. In Wyoming, a fire has blackened more than 11,000 acres and a half dozen homes have been destroyed. Officials hope to have the fire 80% contained by tonight. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
President Bush says he expects the U.S. deficit to be cut in half in 2008, a year earlier than expected because of a growing economy. But yesterday, the Congressional Budget Office forecast the 2007 budget will be $26 billion higher than projected for 2006. British Petroleum says half of the oil production from Alaska's Prudhoe Bay, or 200,000 barrels a day, has been restored. Boeing will shut down production of its C-17 cargo planes because Congress has not authorized any new purchases. Thousands of workers in California could be affected by the decision. Ford has announced a temporary shutdown of U.S. and Canadian plants. The company blames high gas prices for falling truck sales. Time Warner says it will restate its earnings going back to 2000. That follows an independent auditor's discovery of accounting problems and is also part of a settlement with the SEC. The latest U.S. News & World Report survey of top colleges places Princeton in the number one slot. Harvard, Yale, Caltech, MIT, and Stanford are also in the top five. Light sweet crude settled today at $71.14. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is up 46 points at 11,381. NASDAQ up 6 points at 2164. S&P 500 up 5 points at 1302. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
for your second hour of Head On with Bob Kincaid with guest hosts Bruce Birch and John Fox.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bruce and I fill in the chair today, and we're chatting at headonradionetwork.com, blogging at Head On Radio Network, you know, doing the thing. You can email Bruce at bruce@brucebirch.com and John at fourthestateradio.com. And Bruce, you've rejoined us.
See.
How was dinner?
Dinner was excellent. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I was starving. I was absolutely starving, so I needed to eat. So thank you, John, for covering the bases that mighty. John, I found something that I think it might be kind of interesting to do. What do you think? You think we could pull this off?
I reckon we can give it a go. Where do you want to take this little thing from?
Do we have any fake news music?
All right, let's see.
It's the quality. It's the lack of quality news network. No, You know, I heard it was happy hour over there at the Quality News Network today. Pretty much all day, but. No. I'm just joking. I'd like to welcome you to the.
Okay.
You want to do this, John?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. We'll do this.
Right.
So this.
Let me do the news music. And bring it in. All right. You ready? Dun 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 dun. You're on.
Thank you, Sarge, and welcome to the Nun Situation Closet here at Canceled News Network. I am your host, Coyote Scheister, the propagandist. Our guests today will be Trent Lott and Haley Barber to give us the real story on how well the recovery in Mississippi's Gulf Coast is going. Welcome to the Nun Situation Closet, Governor Barber, and it is a deep, deep pleasure for me to meet you. Governor, the old Sarge over at Powers and Morrison has been lying to the people that things are not going real well, but I know you know, but I know, and if you say it is, I will believe it because I am a propagandist. So, Governor, things are indeed going well, right?
Well, Coyote, we feel it is the best recovery after a major hurricane ever. In fact, many have told us they are amazed at the speed we have used in getting things done.
Governor, is it not a fact that you said you were surprised by the hurricane? And if so, do you have any explanation?
In fact, Coyote, I never did say, and why the liberal media said that it is a mystery to me. I was well into preparations a week before the storm hit, so it is just pure left-wing lies. I already drafted the letter to the president asking for the southern counties to be declared a national disaster area. But since I sent it Pony Express, it just took a while to get there.
But, Governor, the Pony Express has been gone since the railroad linked the nation. So how did you manage to get the letter delivered by them?
Well, it was not easy, but we did find a kid with a horse or something similar to a horse. And we got him and five other 5-year-old boys to relay the message to President Bush down there in Crawford.
That was certainly smart and fast thinking that I bet no liberal would have thought of. Is it also true, Governor, that almost every home in Mississippi had a roof damage is now covered?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Coyote. It is very true, and we even gave them a bright and pretty blue roof to show just because we are a red state, we are working with the Democrats to ensure the best recovery ever. A pretty blue roof.
I bet it's lovely. The recent ruling by Judge Center that wind-driven water was not covered by Nationwide was not required to be paid by the company is sent by the left and is bad rulings that is going to hurt hundreds. How do you feel about that?
Well, Coyote, I totally agree with the judge on that because it is nothing more than an attempt by those people to tie up the courts with a bunch of useless lawsuits.
He showed compassion by not making others waste valuable time in getting their houses back in order, and that time can be spent rebuilding.
I understand Trent Lott, who is a proponent of tort reform and a wonderful man who has done so much for Mississippi, making it the top state in many categories, has a lawsuit against his insurance company. Is that case another case that will be affected by Judge Center's ruling?
Well, Coyote, that is a totally different circumstance, and you can rest assured I support Senator Lott in his efforts. He has done so much for Mississippi by helping to reduce the amount we spend on education in the state, seeing children, which are usually are those black and lazy children, sink deeper into poverty and not seeing, and also seeing that abortion be put in its rightful place, the back alley.
Thanks, Governor, for answering these hard questions. I appreciate the fact that you didn't shy away from answering them and answering them honestly and clearly. One last question before we break for commercial. But, Governor, I saw you have some beautiful casinos here on land now, with large parking areas where houses that were obviously poor black people's houses and some lazy white poor trash. Are you pleased to see that these really black and poor people's homes out of the way so casinos can have a nice spacious parking lots?
Well, Coyote, what more can I say? I think you did almost as good a job as my friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens and fellow racists could have stated it. Thank you for letting me join you.
Commercial break. Welcome back to the Non-Situation Closet. I am your host, William Scheister. Our second guest is the honorable, honest, God-fearing, devoted to our troops and their welfare, and of course, dedicated to see the people in Jackson County, his home county, recover from Hurricane Corona. Senator, it is a pleasure to have you on my show. My first question is, did you vote against the amendment to a bill that called for the Iraqi government not to grant amnesty to those who killed only Americans?
That is not true, as my press secretary stated to the old Sarge. I know Sarge showed the record of my vote, and thanks to our funding of education in Mississippi, most here couldn't read it.
Well, Senator, Sarge has reported that you have no show in Jackson County's recovery. Is there any truth to that lie?
It is not true. I have been working hard in D.C., fighting for such as making flag burning illegal, which is a problem that has been really at a rampant pace in our nation. Also, I had to fight to keep our beloved president from being investigated for his acts on so many things that the liberals are trying to lay at his feet, like his wonderful spying on Americans. How else, Coyote, could he know if some couples watch them XXX-rated movies while having sex in their bedrooms? These liberals don't understand sex is a tool that terrorists use.
Senator, I am so sorry we're out of time, but I deeply appreciate your hard work in stopping flag burning and to keep our troops in Iraq where we can keep the killing alive. Goodness knows if we don't kill off more young people, then we will have a population crisis in the future. Not to mention the lost revenue, people like military contractors, coffin makers, and the undertakers. We also would slow down the manufacturing of flags for coffins.
Right, Cody. Where would we be without a good occupation that brings about an Islamic republic that would be close to Iran? We have to keep tensions high in the Middle East to keep terrorism the wonderfully productive product we have to try to scare the hell out of our people with and keep them voting for us even though we don't do a damn thing for them.
Thanks again, Senator. And until next time, this has been the Nun Situation Closet, where we give you no or as little news as possible. To keep the spin doctors alive, after all, look at all the time they spent in spin medical school learning how to spin anything into propaganda. Next week, we will have Joe Lyman telling us how Osama bin Laden and Ned Lamont plotting to give America the Muslims, who are all terrorists.
And it appears, John, that we got to take a break. So let's go to the break, and we'll come back. We might actually do some real news. This is Bruce Birch, and that's John Fox. And you know what? This is the Head On Radio Network. We're covering for Bob Kincaid, who is on the road tonight. We stole the keys to the car, and we're doing a joyride. We'll be back after these messages. Keeping your emotions having-
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
In Kosovo, the U.S. government has provided over $292 million, a $70 million U.S. government assistance package for Central America in response to Hurricane Mitch.
Sometimes it seems like we spend an awful lot of our tax money helping people in other countries. But in reality, it's less than 1% of our government's annual budget. Our aid programs save lives by helping couples plan their families, immunizing children against deadly diseases, and ensuring that people have safe drinking water. It's important that these programs continue. Helping create a healthy and secure future for people in developing countries helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid, Bruce Birch, and John Fox filling the seat. Bruce Birch, you there, matey?
Indeed, I am. That last little bit of dramatic reading that you heard us do was actually penned by a gentleman named Sarge, and he's over at PowersandMorrison.com. If you go to just go to Powers and Morrison, PowersandMorrison.com, and what you do is you look on the left-hand side, you'll see a little thing there called the Old Sarge, Herb Phelps. Click on that, and you can read that what we just dramatized for you. Thank you, Sarge, man, for allowing us to do that. And go check out powersandmorrison.com. They got a lot of great stuff over there, man. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Do you remember a few months ago when we were doing Fourth Estate Radio, and I was ranting and raving that Johnny Howard had kind of almost in the middle of the night kind of railroaded through the real draconian anti-terror legislation that they passed over here?
Yes.
Well, and there was this right before the vote, there were suddenly arrests of, you know, a terror plot, right? Just
terror.
The day before or something. Yeah. You know, and this is for terrorist strikes within Australia, and it's like, oh, please.
Yes,
police.
It is ridiculous.
So anyway,
police.
Well, the first case involving these laws was basically thrown out yesterday.
Really?
And,
so even the judge said, oh, police.
Yeah,
right?
Basically, and okay. Now you have the Howard government going, oh, please. It says here from the Sydney
That's
Morning
definitely
Herald,
a different kind of please. Yes.
The federal government's war on terrorism has suffered an embarrassing setback after Joseph Thomas, and I hate this that of course they even use this as the headline, dubbed Jihad Jack. The guy's been let go, but they still have to try to put the tag on him. What? See?
Oh my God! Jihad Jack. Jihad. Yeah, that's kind of a cool nickname, though.
Yeah, walked free after an appeals court quashed his conviction. Yeah, well, they quashed it. It said evidence used to convict Mr. Thomas, the first person jailed under new federal anti-terrorism laws, was ruled inadmissible by the Victorian court. Mr. Thomas's interview in Pakistan with the Australian federal police should not have been relied on, three judges said. And it didn't seem like much of a case either, and so this guy's been, you know, turned around and let go. And similar reaction to the Bushies over the you know, the NSA going bad, being told bad kitties. Howard's doing the same thing, you know, but it's a key thing on our fight against the people that hate us because we're dirty, drunk tourists and we pollute more per capita than anybody else. So, blah! So, and Howard's been getting his head quietly handed to him a few times recently. He's had three different bills recently that he's had to actually pull before vote because he knew he didn't have the numbers. And he has a majority in the Senate. And he's got his own turning around and going, nah. They had some really bad immigration stuff going through. And the one senator from a party called Family First, which, you know, when they popped up, we went, uh-oh. But this guy, when a bill actually hurts families, he doesn't go for it. So he was against the whole IR legislation and all that. He's kind of ended up being this very strange, unexpected advocate for what is right. Now, he's got other views on stem cell research and things that I don't agree with, but Howard's being shown some resistance as of late, and that's a good thing to see.
It is a good thing. You know, you guys down there, it's like a smaller microcosm of the insanity that goes on here.
Yeah, man, we have our, you know, Howard's got his nose so far up the posterior of George W. Bush and his administration, it's red from friction.
Can we say ass? Can we say ass on the air, John? let's just go ahead and say what it is. He's got his nose so far up George Bush's ass, right?
Bingo.
That he's trying. It's all about. You know, it's all about, hey Johnny, here's what we're going to do, see? This is what we did here in America. Here's what we did in America. Well, we put these colored terror alerts up there, and everybody got scared for a little while, and they put me back in office. Of course, I had to steal part of it, but you see, that's all you got to do down there. Put some terror laws into effect, and then you arrest one or two of them. It scares the hell out of everybody, and then they'll yes. Oh, sorry. I got possessed there for a moment, John.
and the response is, well, George, all right. I swear, Howard. What's really sad is Howard is actually probably one of the most gifted politicians I've ever actually seen. I mean, he's a smart guy. When I first landed here, he had just taken office, and you know, he knew how to communicate. You know, like, I didn't agree with him, but the guy—I mean, you could not deny the talent. And just like in the United States, that the microcosm—they have fallen down the hole of their own power. You know, and some of his people, you know, are going, wait a minute, because like the immigration legislation that they wanted to put through was that anyone that landed in a boat, on a boat or anything, anywhere in Australian waters would be sent off to some island somewhere to be processed, and then if they were actually given refugee status, some third country had to take them.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start wars everywhere and then not accept refugees. And then, I mean, this to me is like the ultimate this is like drives me nuts. Sorry, I just had a train wreck in my brain. About five different thoughts all came in at once. You know how that happens, man?
Indeed. I have what I call a train wreck of thought all the time. Okay, yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's this?
I don't understand. Anyway, I think we need to go to a break or something. Yeah, let's do that.
Go, mate. It's all yours.
Yeah, let's wait. Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Well, okay. Yeah, looks like we got some interesting production situation going on in our studio.
To your own group. For more information, visit www.callingpost.org. Thank you. Goodbye.
Huh. Thank you.
I'm highly confused. Maybe we can figure this out when we take a break. So this is, oh, okay. Are we doing something here?
I think so.
I feel like a satellite that's lost its gravitational pull. I tell you what. Let's take our bottom of the hour break, because it is now time, and we'll sort out whatever that was, because I think there's some sort of brilliance that's being attempted. So you're listening to John and Bruce filling in for Bob Kincaid on Head On.
Brilliant.
And we'll be right back right after
this. Brilliant! Oh, sorry. Yes, we're taking a break. Yeah.
For some new interns who will lay their bodies down for their country. We need more sex in the White House. More sex in the White House. More sex in the White House. Let's keep them on their knees. We need more sex in the White House. More sex in the White House. More sex in the White House. Just on that bomb between their knees. We could eliminate preemptive action if we focus more on the satisfaction of the heads of state. No, it's not too late to disarm their missiles and alleviate the pent-up frustrations that seem to create premature ejaculation on some other state. So let's screw the politicians before it's too late.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution. Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Right, you're back on the Bruce. Oh, this is not the Bruce. This is. I don't even know where the hell I am. Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Who am I anyway? Am I John Fox or am I? Who am I?
You are Bruce.
Okay.
Church.
Okay. Now let's start this over. Agnes, bring the music back up. We're not going to start it over. Okay. All right, you're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Bruce Birch, and my good friend John Fox from Sydney, Australia, is down there hanging out doing the other half of this show tonight. We've been doing all kinds of weird stuff, and actually, I just wanted you to know that I'm damn glad to be able to cover for Bob. It's big shoes to fill, but we're doing our best to do it. You know, after we stole the key and locked him in the closet. And so, what you got for us, John?
Well. It seems as though one of my pet peeve, most hated corporations on the planet's in the news again. And out of the Guardian, there's a story here saying, "Has Coke become the new McDonald's? Drinks firm being hit by hunger strikes and college boycotts." Now, unless you've been, you know, you live somewhat blindly, Coca-Cola has this wonderful history of a few different, you know, kind of things that they really enjoy doing. One of them is murder squads in Latin America, where, you know, the workers of the local bottler might try to organize to earn more than $3 a week and almost pretty much every year, every 2 years, there's reports of murder squads going and murdering their families. And there's also issues with Coca-Cola tends to get rights to water in localities over the people. There's been a big thing going on. I think it's up in Queensland. Amatil, the Australian Coca-Cola thing, has, you know, in an area that is struggling for water in a drought-stricken country, Coca-Cola has rights to the water supply before the farmers do. I mean, come on.
Well,
anyway.
You know, well, they are the corporation, John. They have better rights, man. They have more rights. Don't you understand it, man? When are you stupid liberals going to get it, man? Huh?
And not to mention that, you know, it's reported that your average can of Coke can have sometimes anywhere from 20 to 200 times the legal limit of pesticides in them if you just do random testing. There's rat poison found in it in Australia at one point, and they went ahead and released it anyway. You know, these people really don't give a damn. And I have become an absolute pain in the ass when pulling over at, you know, a roadhouse, service station, whatever, and having to sit there and pick up every bloody bottle and look to see who made it. Because, of course, Coca-Cola takes on all kinds of localized labels as well, like Mount Franklin Water, which is the biggest, you know, repackaged tap water in Australia, is owned by Coca-Cola.
Mm.
You know, and I read a few years ago, man. One of our contacts through the 12th Harmonic blog sent me a it was basically the marketing plan for Coca-Cola, and it's they were moving into milk type products at the time.
Three words: okay. Rape, pillage, burn. That's their marketing plan. Go ahead.
No. Well, they basically said that Coca-Cola wanted to have a product for every possible thirst, what did they say, impetus that a person could have. So they wanted to have milk-type drinks. And going with the proper marketing scheme, it is a market to be had. Now, you know, through dodgy labeling and whatnot, they make these drinks look as though that they're something healthy. But we know that all this processing and all this other garbage strips any kind of, you know, dairy product of all of its good sources. You replace it with chemical replacements, and your body doesn't even see them. It's like, oh, what's that? You know, it's just a complete waste of time. But they want to make sure that they can get your buck every time you think you want to drink. And, you know, it's all bull. It still costs, the can still costs 10 times more than the product inside it does, and the can still costs less than 3 cents.
Pardon me, opportunity's calling. I'll be right back.
I better get that. So anyway, via The Guardian, David Tether has a piece here saying, the muffled phone line made the voice in Lagos sound small and distant, but there was no mistaking the sense of determination. A Nigerian lawyer was explaining how he intended to take on Coca-Cola, the world's largest soft drinks company. He claims to be acting for some 4,000 people in the port area of Apapa, many of them poor and illiterate, who believe that their local bottling plant has stolen their livelihoods. A lawsuit is planned, accusing the company of polluting a lagoon by pumping untreated waste into the water and killing fish. Like many multinational companies operating in Africa, Coca-Cola is guilty of double standards, he said. They do what they are unable to do in America and Europe. We feel cheated. People are roaming the streets with no means of making a living.
You know, these
and
people
I've been
are
more
sick.
And more
sick, They're sick. They're sick. They're sick. You know, and it's all about the corporate. It's all about the bottom line profit. It's about exploit. You know, Coca-Cola is one of the worst companies in the world. If people out there drink Coke products, you need to stop it right now. Stop it. Put it down.
Yeah.
Put it down. Pour it out. Better yet, take it back and tell them you want your money back. No, but they really are.
That is one of the most real things you can do. Real active things you can do is to just not buy them.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. Don't support their products. They're hideous. They're hideous. They're sick. They're zombie suckers. They're bad. Bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Bad people.
May I remind everybody about the one of the situations in Africa where they have an epidemic of a thing that they call Fanta baby syndrome. And what they've done is they've gone out and through media campaigns convinced uneducated African mothers that Fanta is better for their kids than their own breast milk. And you have thousands of children dying of starvation because they're being fed by bottle nothing but Fanta.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
It's been going on for years.
My God.
And Nestle's another one that does a similar thing. They've convinced poor, illiterate mothers that their breast milk is no good and they must buy formula. So people with no money, you know, now feel that they have to fork out for formula. I mean, this is absolutely, it's shameful. And as far as I know, yes, Gene, Fanta is Coke. Last I checked, and there's a, you know what, and I have to say that there's a big difference between Coke and Pepsi, even though I use that little analogy about American politics.
I'm now looking up Dr. Pepper to find out who owns it, because I drink Dr. Pepper. This is terrible. But I think Dr. Pepper like is associated more with Pepsi than it is with Coke. So anyway.
Yeah, and Pepsi's a bit of a different kettle of fish, not to promote one or the other, because I am now what I consider a person that does not have too much issue maintaining one's, say, weight and whatnot. And one of the things that I attribute it to is the fact that I just completely stopped drinking any of that stuff. I just completely did. And, you know, it's... I take pleasure when someone asks me why I'm reading the label is because I can just say quickly, I don't buy Coke products because they murder people. And what is it? What is it? It's a trademark for a chemical formulation, and all it is mass produced.
Well, I'm being told, John, I'm being told in the chat room that Fanta was developed... because Coke was outlawed from doing business in Germany, so they developed Fanta to continue to be able to sell soft drinks in Germany.
And then I think Coca-Cola then ended up picking up Fanta, though, in time.
Well, no, I'm saying... our friend Cossack, who called us a couple nights ago, is saying that Coke developed Fanta for that reason.
Right. Oh, right. Okay, I follow you now. Right.
Only well, on the know, Head On Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen, only on the Head On Radio Network would you get soft drink history and trivia and know about what's really going on when you pop the top on your favorite bubbly beverage.
Yeah.
Looks like we got to take our break, John.
Okay, man. We'll do that then, and it's not going to be too far before we have Mr. David Rovics on the program. Looking very forward to that. You've got Bruce and John filling in for Bob on Head On, and we'll be straight back after this on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a nail in the door, and there's glass on the lawn. Tacks on the floor, and the TV's on. There's a blade by the
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Where are we?
What, are you born yesterday? We're at the doctor's office.
I'm sick? Already? Oh, break it to me, Ben. What have I got?
Kid, relax. We're here for our second newborn screening.
A newborn screening? What's that?
You see, we got tested for these rare diseases when we are first born. But sometimes they don't show up till we're older. So you gotta get the second test between 7 and 14 days.
Diseases? I feel sick. Oh, I better get something in the nursery. Remember that kid who screamed all the time?
Breathe, baby. This test is for treatable stuff. If anything is wrong, now's the time to find out.
I heard even healthy-looking kids can have something deadly, Ben.
That's why every baby's gotta go back for his second screening.
So, with the second heel stick, you think my chances are good?
Heel stick? What heel stick? Nobody told me nothing about a heel stick.
Oh, brother!
For information on this newborn screening program, call the Department of Health.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
All right, you're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and this is Bruce Birch. John Fox and I are sitting in, filling Bob's roomy shoes. I understand we do have a caller on the line. Our friend Peter is on line one. Peter, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, and it's so nice to be able to talk to the world's most dangerous progressives. Hey, guys.
How you going, Peter?
He's got a gun!
You know what, guys?
Why would you call us dangerous? Why would you call us dangerous, Peter?
Well, you've got a microphone and you've got a stream that makes you a national danger. In fact, well, in my book, though, it makes you a national treasure. But, you know, there's a lot of people that call you a danger.
Well, thank you, Peter.
You know,
you are a treasure, too.
I just wanted to start out by saying tonight that, you know, it takes a black woman to truly kick butt.
Yes, it does.
I am
yes!
Anna Taylor.
I'm so freaking proud of that woman. You know, there's this old joke about if you really want to know what being discriminated against is, you need to be a black lesbian Jewish woman or something like that. But, you know, you can forget the lesbian and the gay part and even the Jewish part. All you got to be is a black woman. You know, black women in this country truly have had it up to here, and I am so proud of that woman. And she is not the first black woman who has kicked butt. Do you guys remember Barbara Jordan?
Now, oh, yes.
Barbara Jordan back in the Nixon administration, she was the member of the House Judiciary Committee, and She described Nixon at the time as being swollen with power and tyranny. And there's a quote she said during the hearings and in the beginning the impeachment of Nixon. She said, "My faith in the Constitution is whole. It is complete. It is total. And I'm not going to sit here and be an idle spectator to the subversion and the destruction of the Constitution. The Constitution charges the president with the task of taking care that the laws be fully executed." Barbara Jordan kicked butt in her day, and we have Judge Anna Diggs Taylor doing it now with the same sorts of remarks that Bush is obviously in violation of the Fourth Amendment. She used words like blatant. I just want to give a salute to black women everywhere. Thank you for not taking it anymore, honey. Thank you. I mean, this crap has got to stop. These people have got to stop making these things up. Bush goes along and makes things up like unlawful combatant and military tribunal and enhanced terror techniques and unitary executives, and then imagines those things and makes-believe them into law. And this, and basically, she just read him the Riot Act. And, you know, I'm just so proud of her. I really am. And it comes with the tradition of Barbara Jordan, and you know, my hat's off to you. Black women, use the rage. We need you. Nobody else is doing it.
No kidding. You know what it makes me kind of wish you could time warp back? Do you remember in the early days of Fox, not Fox News, but, you know, Fox the entertainment arm on telly, there was that show In Living Color where Kerry got his start and whatnot. I could just see them doing, you know, some sort of, you know, Mississippi Mama thing.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like all set up in front of Congress and going, "Now look at here.
Yeah.
This is going to stop in Mama's house right now." And
exactly. The humor and the rage all mixed together is just priceless, and it's dangerous. And I just couldn't be happier. You know, I didn't really realize that the judge who came out with a ruling was a black woman until last night in chat. It came up, she was a black woman, and I was just as happy as I could be. I thought it was wonderful. You know, hats off to her. I mean, really. And, you know, just another uppity black woman. That's what it was. Another uppity black woman. Doesn't know her place.
Well, you know, I called her office today. I called her office this afternoon to tell her thank you.
Did you?
And,
you, Bruce.
And actually, if you want to call, the number is, I can give you the number. You got a pencil and paper?
I sure do.
It's 1-313-234-5105. 313. Yeah, it's 313-234-5105.
I'll post it in chat when I get back into the room.
And when I called her office, I got, this is what I heard on the other end. "Hello?" I said, "Yes, I was trying to reach the judge, Judge Taylor, to say thank you." She goes, the lady on the other side goes, "Well, land sakes, this show has been a whole lot of people calling today." And I went, "Cool.
This is so priceless. I love it."
And now that this is the truth now, she said to me, I said, "You guys are getting a lot of calls, huh?" She goes, "Yeah, it's about 90% to about 10% in favor of the ruling. They've gotten thousands of phone calls."
Well, praise the Lord.
And I said, "Well, you tell her for me." I said, "I know you probably won't remember me or my name, but," I said, "do express at least from one person, you know, that I'm really grateful that she's standing up for our Constitution."
Well, I am,
and,
too.
So you can call her and tell her yourself if you want.
I intend to. I'll place that call tomorrow, and well, actually, tomorrow Saturday. I'll wait until Monday and place that call. It's just thrilling to hear that. It's just the best news I've heard in so long. It really made my day. You know, there's not a whole lot of good news that comes through. You know, it's not a whole lot of good news. And the other thing I wanted to bring up was Lieutenant Watata. You know, his hearings are starting this week, and I encourage everyone, if you have pizza money or you know, everybody's hitting up you up for money every time you go to Truth Out, that, you know, they need money, everybody needs money, but I think this Watata thing is very, very important. I went to his website the other day and made a donation, and if any of you can find it in your heart to go to that, well, you know, the attorneys are representing him for free, but there are many costs regarding traveling and discovery, and it goes on and on. The list is huge, and to help defray those costs.
It's what, thankyoult.org, is that right?
I'm trying to remember. I can't call it off the top of my head.
Thankyoult.org. Yes.
Is it the full thankyoult.org?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think you're right. Okay. And if you'll go there, there's a donate button, and anything would be helpful. In fact, when I went offline to make this call, my message light was flashing, and there was actually a recording. He does these broadcast recordings from time to time, and he was thanking me for the donation, and I'm sure everyone who made any kind of donation was thanked. And I just think this is very important, and if you can possibly find it in your heart to do that, please do that. Very important.
Absolutely. So, we've got to stand up for these folks, because they're standing up for what's right, and they're standing up for what is just. And you know what? As it has been said, I'm not sure who said it exactly, but as has been said before, we must either hang together, or we will most assuredly hang separately.
You know, now Watata, isn't he Hawaiian?
I'm thinking so. Yes.
I'm thinking so too.
Yes.
He's probably a little on the brown side. You know, it's the brown people in this world are just standing up for us wimpy white people. I know.
So. We're a bunch of lame-os, man. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible.
Lame-os. We wail and we gnash our teeth and we wear sackcloth. But we just don't do a whole lot. But these people are out there. You know, maybe it's part of God's gift to brown people. I don't know. But God bless them. I'll tell you what. It's way to go, kids. Thank God for you.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
Peter,
it's the hardest stand to take, I think, in a time like this, is to be the first serviceman to go, no, I won't go, sir, and I won't have another. And, you know, they're gonna try and break him hard.
Oh, they are. It's gonna be merciless. Watata in the telephone call was saying that the prosecution side, basically all they had was video interviews of people that he, you know, that Watata said this, Watata said that, and in other words, it's kind of lame at this point. They really don't have a case because the man is exercising his rights. But
Peter, we got to go. We're running right up on the news. Thank you so much for ringing. We love to hear from you, but we got a break for the news and come back with David. So we'll be back here on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Perfect. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Peter.
And we're going to break for the news, I do believe. So Bruce and I will be back with David Rovix right after this on the Head On Radio Network.
Look around. Show me holy places not yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. We'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around.
This is the Quality News Network. As Lebanese troops gathered near the Israeli border, mass funerals were held for Lebanese residents killed in the conflict. A Hezbollah leader accused the U.S. of providing Israel with weapons and aiding in the killings. In Israel, some soldiers returning from the conflict say they were hindered by lack of communication, training, and equipment. They also accuse the army of being slow to rescue wounded soldiers and provide food supplies. The United Nations has received pledges of nearly 4,000 troops to make up the 15,000-strong international peacekeeping force expected to deploy in 2 weeks. Those countries include France, Bangladesh, and Finland, which is not expected to send troops until November. At Camp David today, President Bush said critics of the government's warrantless wiretap program, quote, do not understand the nature of the world in which we live, end quote. He said he's confident a federal judge's ruling that found the program unconstitutional will be overturned on appeal. Near Baghdad today, a guard was killed and another injured when gunmen attacked a civilian truck convoy. Also, 77 people were detained as part of a security crackdown. The Iraqi government is also imposing a 3-day vehicle ban in parts of Baghdad starting tonight. The New York Times reports that evidence may have been withheld or destroyed in the investigation of the killings of Iraqi civilians by Marines last November. Pentagon officials are investigating the incident, which claimed the lives of 24 Iraqis. At Camp David today, President Bush urged participants in the six-party talks to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear program. He also warned that if North Korea conducted a nuclear bomb test, it would pose a world threat. In India, 100 paramilitary soldiers are now guarding the Taj Mahal. Officials say they received a letter allegedly written by an Al-Qaeda supporter threatening to blow up the 17th-century monument. In Cuba, acting President Raul Castro made his first public comment since temporarily taking over power. He said Cuba's armed forces are reportedly prepared to defend the country against a U.S. invasion, which U.S. officials deny is being considered. And in Wyoming, a wildfire has blackened more than 11,000 acres and destroyed half a dozen homes. Officials hope to have the fire 80% contained by tonight. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Non-spousal heirs will no longer have to take retirement inheritances in a lump sum. Under the pension overhaul bill signed into law yesterday, they can now put the money into an IRA and withdraw the money over time. President Bush says he expects the U.S. deficit to be cut in half by 2008 rather than 2009 because of a growing economy. But yesterday, the Congressional Budget Office forecast the 2007 deficit would be $26 billion higher than projected for 2006. Ford plans to temporarily shut down its U.S. and Canadian plants. The company expects its fourth quarter production to drop by 21% compared to last year, due largely to high gas prices. British Petroleum says half of the oil production from Alaska's Prudhoe Bay, or 200,000 barrels a day, has been restored. The People's Bank of China has raised interest rates for the second time this year. The country's economy grew at an 11.3% rate in the second quarter. Microsoft has announced a nearly $4 billion stock buyback plan, part of a larger repurchase program. And the latest U.S. News and World Report survey of top colleges places Princeton in the number one spot. Harvard, Yale, and Stanford are also in the top five. Light sweet crude settled today at $71.14. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is up 46 points, NASDAQ up 6, S&P 500 up 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Here's your final hour of Head On with Bob Kincaid with John Fox and Bruce Birch.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour three of Head On with Bob Kincaid with Bruce and John holding down the fort. Bruce Birch up there in Greensboro, North Carolina, me in Sydney, Australia, and we have a guest in a third location on the line with us, Mr. David Rovics. Are you there, mate?
Hey, I'm here, yeah, in Toronto, Canada.
Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in the great city of Toronto, and just kind of taking the last half of the month to chill out here with my lover and my baby before I do the big fall tour, where I'm going to be traveling around the U.S. for most of the fall. Halliburton Boardroom Massacre U.S. tour.
And you just go to davidrovics.com to get more information on that, don't you?
Yeah, people can find out all about the tour and the tour dates and the new CD, which is official release date is September 5th. It'll be in a store near you somewhere, and it'll be international.
Yeah, I actually see that you have distribution and everything all set up for this release, that you're going to be much more readily available this time.
Sorry?
Excellent.
Yeah, it'll be available in stores.
That's fantastic. Just, you know, I don't know if you remember last time you were on Fourth Estate Radio. You know, I've worked in music most of my life as a player and as an engineer, and I have been just shock horrored to what has happened to the voice that music and songwriters used to play in times like we live in now, and it's very, very hard, like no other time I can imagine in the modern music industry, to get some real voices of activism or just real stories out there.
Yeah, I mean, the music is being written as it always has been, and there's lots of great writers doing this kind of stuff and performing in all kinds of different genres, you know, folk and rock, and hip-hop, punk rock, all kinds of stuff. But the labels and the corporate, you know, clear channel radio stations and stuff have things more wrapped up than ever. It's, there's little, you know, sort of shafts of light out there, like Pacifica and Air America, but basically it's pretty wrapped up. And the big sort of chance to get the music out there to a larger audience.
Yeah, especially if we can keep certain legislation from trying to put limits on people, you know, doing this kind of thing. With the new record, how long did it take you to put this record together and kind of, do you kind of write the songs one by one as things strike you, or do you sit down and say it's time to write an album?
Well, yeah, I never do that time to write an album thing. I know people who do that, and I'm really impressed by that. I don't understand how that works. For me, it's like you write songs as they come to you, as different, you're reading different things in the news or just having different experiences and have a, you know, inspiration to write a song about something. And I often will write, you know, several songs in one month, and then other months I'll write none, you know, but the whole thing of just writing an album, you know, I don't know how that works. With me, the way it was I basically, over the past year and a half or so, I had like about 30 different new songs that were all sort of prospective album songs, and I sort of sent them all to my friend Sean Staples, who was the producer of the CD, and he pretty much picked out, I told him a few songs that I definitely wanted to be on there, and then he picked out the rest, and we came up with a dozen songs, and they're not the dozen songs that I would have picked if I was picking out of those 30 songs, but I think he did a great job because he was thinking much more about the music than about the lyrics. I would have been thinking about the topics of the different songs, and he was thinking of how it musically worked out together and whether there's enough musical variety. And I think, you know, I'm just always glad to be working with people like him because things turn out a lot more interesting than they would if I were the one making all the decisions.
Well, I got to give you credit for giving up that much that huge part of the control freak part of the process.
To
relinquish that, that to me is very impressive and obviously very trusting of your producer. I think that sounds great to me, and that you think that it's better because of it.
Yeah, much better. Yeah.
Now, I've actually just having no idea that you were going to be on. I actually was kind of fiddling around, you know, trying to figure out a couple of your tunes, and I have to say you're a very fun guitar player to mimic.
Well, thanks.
And I must say that what was it that I was playing on? Who Would Jesus Bomb? That's a ball.
Uh-huh.
That's an absolute ball. What where does your guitar style drive from? Who's important to you?
Well, I think Who Would Jesus Bomb particularly is definitely fairly directly inspired by the guitar playing of folks like Dick Goggin from Scotland, and more generally just by the sort of Irish guitar scene. Like, I mean, in Irish traditional music over the past, I don't know how long it's been like this, but at least over the past 20 or 30 years, there's been a real emphasis on open tunings and lots of sort of modulations of suspended chords. And that's, you know, that's what Who Would Jesus Bomb is all about, that kind of like sort of rapid fire, rhythmic open tuning thing.
Yeah, and it's got all that great, you know, bit of having the right strings drone, and it's just a matter of digging in and riding it, it definitely has all that Celtic feel, I would say, but it's great fun stuff to play, and so I guess last question before we take a break that'll be all kind of. The process oriented is just when the song process starts, do you start purely with a word and a melody idea, no instrument, or do you have does the instrument drive the song process?
For me, it's and I don't know whether this is best or not. I think it has its drawbacks, but for me, for better or for worse, pretty much always the lyrics coming first. And I generally, before I get very far with the lyrics, I have some kind of an idea of a melody and a rhythm and so that it kind of holds together as a song. And that usually starts out simple and gets more nuanced as I work on it more. But it pretty much always starts out with a refrain of some kind. And then sometimes, in a number of cases, I drop the refrain entirely and just write a sort of ballad with no chorus. But usually it starts out with a refrain, and usually the refrain gets kept. So like a song like Who Would Jesus Bomb, it's like, you know, it wasn't the first time I had heard the phrase or thought of the phrase, but I thought, you know, Who Would Jesus Bomb, you know, and it was just after having an encounter with a very sort of a real wingnut, right wing Bush supporter, so-called Christian, who got really mad at me for having my, T-shirt on that had I have my favorite T-shirt, big picture of George Bush and the words "International Terrorist" in big letters.
Oh, I want one.
And it's usually a wonderful way to make friends most anywhere you go, but occasionally it's a good way to make enemies. And this was the case in one Whole Foods market in Houston, Texas, a few years ago.
You know what, Dave? Hey, Dave. This is Bruce. I'm surprised you got out there without being dragged behind a truck or something.
Yeah, lucky enough not to get dragged behind any truck, so that's good. But then again, I didn't go to Jarvis. I was in Houston, so maybe in Jarvis I could have gotten dragged behind a truck. But I suspect they may not be doing that to white people yet. I don't know, but it's a. Usually, if somebody doesn't like the shirt, usually, and this was also the case that particular day at the Whole Foods Market, usually the thing that happens is there's a whole bunch of other people who are suddenly supportive vocally of me and the T-shirt and really hostile towards the guy who doesn't like it. And that happens quite regularly. So it's always kind of an interesting thing. It's a very humbling experience for the sort of pro-Bush people because they if they're only listening to Fox News, which is the case with many of them, of course, they might be under the impression that they're the majority and that most people like Bush and support the war in Iraq, et cetera. But when they do, sort of make an outburst of some kind, they tend to be just kind of, you know, people are looking at them like, what's your problem? You like the president, you know? And kind of humbling for them. Even in the airports, you may not realize how many people are working in the airport and not just traveling. I mean, for every one of those yuppie with a suit on who's going somewhere, there's probably one or two people who's actually working in the airport. And those are the people who don't like Bush. It really breaks down along class lines to a huge degree. I mean, there's lots of people with privilege who don't like him, too. But the overwhelming majority of working people, as far as from what I can tell, really don't like the guy. That's in the airport. It's always the workers at Starbucks, McDonald's, the TSA people, and they're all like, you know, saying great things about the T-shirt and getting mad at people that don't like it.
Cool, David. let me ask you this, David. The last interview we did, which was a few weeks ago, you and I, when you were in Ireland.
Yeah, I think I was in Ireland. I can't remember. I know I was somewhere in Europe at the time.
The one thing that I wanted to get to that I never was able to ask you, there's a couple questions I have for you, but the first one that I have is I really wanted to pick your brain about the idea of putting all of your music up on the internet and allowing everybody to download it, and what is it in your belief system that sort of got you to do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how any of the changes going on with net neutrality and all that, I don't know how that's going to affect any of this stuff, but it seems to me that there is a ideological battle going on here that is very important between the music industry and the massive corporations that are the music industry. On the one hand, saying that downloading music is thievery, and on the other hand, people like me and lots of other people saying that no, it's actually just a way to get your music out there, just like radio. But, you know, thinking of it more in terms of radio. I mean, of course, people are downloading the songs and they can, you know, and they can get high-quality versions of the songs, but you can do that from copying songs, from you know, listening to the radio and, you know, making cassettes. I mean, basically, what it comes down to is who controls the airwaves, who controls what people hear, and, you know, what
and
the music industry
if I can,
is trying to
if
do
I can,
is, you know... Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You know, and the when you talk about taking off of radio, I'm just going to be real quick with this. You know, it's nothing has changed since cassette tape, and it's hard to take the argument seriously when the record label owns and manufactures the equipment that people can utilize to bootleg the stuff that they're complaining about the copyright infringement on. So when you actually look at the way
copyright
like law is constructed,
it's illegal, right?
Oh well, they actually promised that they wouldn't make DVDs rippable. Mm. And 2 months before the first DVD drives were released, they already had rippable software on them. You know, so I mean, it's always a false promise because they have money to make just in selling the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The false argument.
Yeah, and they know somebody's going to sell the other stuff if they don't, so they might as well.
Bingo.
But I think it's the idea that's so important, even more than the you know the laws and stuff. If they can convince lots and lots of people that they're doing something wrong by downloading music for free, and that they really should be paying for it, then they've won. I mean, regardless of whether they've actually made it much more difficult for people to download, if they have affected people's consciousnesses to the point where people feel guilty for downloading for free, that is going to have an impact, and I think it already is having an impact. I mean, it's hard to say who's winning this this ideological battle here, but there's definitely, I definitely run into a heck of a lot of people who are very, very guilty about downloading my music, which is amazing, given that right there on the front page of the site where I have all my MP3s, I'm saying, don't feel guilty about it. Just download it. Take it. Spread it around. But I think that basically, you know, what it ultimately comes down to is that the big bands, the Rolling Stones, Coldplay, whoever, Oasis, I mean, these guys are losing money hand over fist because of the Internet. You know, they are selling far fewer CDs than they would have, and generally the music, these record labels are selling fewer CDs than they would be, and the whole it throws a wrench into the gears of the whole superstar machine. You know, the whole idea that you should have about, you know, 70 or 80 superstars and everybody else should be completely unknown. I mean, it really throws a wrench into that whole idea.
Which, in essence,
people like me just get a bigger audience.
I was going to say, which in essence almost creates a sort of classism within the music industry, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the music industry is a, you know, very much a class phenomenon. I mean, it's set up to make a few dozen people very rich and very famous, and to make and to make everybody else completely unknown. That's the way it's set up. Out of every year, something in the past few years, I think the average is something like 200,000 CDs are recorded in the United States. And granted, most of them probably suck. I mean, you can figure, most of them suck. But still, that there's probably thousands and thousands of them that are really good out of 200,000. And out of those 200,000 CDs that are recorded every year, 1% of them sell more than 700 copies. And 70 of them sell more than 1 million copies. And at 1%, that 1% that's selling more than 700, for anybody that knows anything about touring musicians and making a living as a musician, you have to sell several thousand CDs a year in order to survive if you're a musician, surviving off your music. And if you're self-releasing. If you're doing it with a label, you have to sell tens of thousands in order to survive because the labels take most of the money. And so basically, that's far fewer than 1% that is able to survive. And that's the system that the music industry is telling us we need to be defending, and it's totally bankrupt. The Internet is providing a new avenue.
Let me tell you real quick a personal story from doing a Sony gig here, and we're down to Sony BMG with their merger, Warner off in the outskirts somewhere, kind of doing a bit of a more real job, and I do believe that you do need major labels, but we need a whole lot more of them. You know, I miss the days when all the labels were not all under what is now Sony. But I used to end up doing staging and or monitors kind of stuff for the Sony annual meetings here. You know, and so it would be everybody from Australasia. And there'd be a bit of, performance and blah, 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 and talk about how wonderful we are. And we're sitting there doing some work on the main stage while in front of a big black curtain, the business end of things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear them just talking about units, 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 units. Not once
it's
in
all
a
about
3-hour
you.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Did not once in a 3-hour meeting did you ever hear a musician? Music.
Yeah.
Anything, even a band's name. But as soon as the musician showed up for their sound check,
there was a time when, not long ago, really, 20, 30 years ago, when there were whole bunches of smaller major labels that were still major labels and really bigger independent labels, and where they were actually run by people that liked music, where they were actually run by people that were actual musicians. And I believe, certainly among the major labels, that's not the case at all. They're all run by businessmen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I just think of, David Geffen has always impressed me because every time one of his labels gets big enough where he's not going out and actually seeing and signing bands anymore, he sells it. And he's done it a half a dozen times or more over the decades. And I've read interviews with him. He says, I got into this. He says, I don't care how big it gets. He says, I got into this because I love bands.
Right.
And, you know,
that's
I don't know how, what he's...
More of.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, you know, he's just sold it all off so he could go back down and do the real thing and build it up again. And it's the and we need people who are driven by the music instead of the money.
Yeah.
David, I have another question for you. One of our chat room listeners, you know, we have a chat room that where people hang out and while we're doing the show online. We're, you know, because we're very internet oriented too here at Head
right,
On Radio
yeah.
Network. I mean, we try to avail ourselves of the entire, you know, technology. But one of our folks has a question for you, and the question is, do you have a song that you think is too good for an album, or I'm going to add on to that, or to be made public?
It's an interesting question, but I would say that it's not really possible. I mean, the songs that are for me the equation is more like, you know, is that song good enough to put out there into the world at all? Because, you know, my friend Jim Page, one of my all-time favorite songwriters, I remember him saying one time, Jim Page of Seattle, not Jimmy Page from England. one time Jim was saying, if a song's good for breakfast, that's fine. You just write it for breakfast and you have it for breakfast, and then by lunchtime it's not relevant anymore. And some songs are like that. Other songs have a longer shelf life. And it was somebody was asking him a question about shelf life of songs and how topical songs tend to have a more limited shelf life. And Jim was ultimately saying, like, well, you know, in 500 years ago, from now, nobody will understand our version of English, and the English language as it is now won't be spoken anymore, and nobody will understand any of these songs. They'll all be ancient, irrelevant, you know, history. You know, so who cares? You know, but you know, yeah, that's I'd say basically, you know, I've definitely written a lot of songs that are good for breakfast, and that's about it. And I think it's okay to put them out there. And other songs have more. You know, are better or more have more universality or more longer shelf life, but I don't think it's possible for a song to be too good to want to put out there. They're all worth putting out there. And also, if we think a song is too good, like if we're worried in terms of, and I'm not sure if this is what the questioner was thinking of, but if we're worried about it being too good because we're thinking somebody's gonna use it or something like that, that's fine. That's no problem at all. And also, you know, there's already laws like, I mean, you know, you record a song and you copyright it through BMI and it's yours. And, you know, of course people are going to maybe do variations on it and stuff, but that's the way music works. That's the way language works. And none of us are original. I mean, we got to get over that idea that we're all, you know, writing, you know, we're the next big original thing. We're all building off of what other people have done. We're all responding, reacting to what other people have done, whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, we're reacting. I mean, punk rock was a direct reaction to glitzy glam rock from the 70s. I mean, that's what the music industry was pushing, the stuff like, you know, perfect, virtuoso heavy metal guitar playing, that sort of thing. And punk rock was a response to that, saying, hey, you know, records
and
the truth, man.
Right on. Dave, let me ask you this. Now, I know you've got a bunch of dates coming up. Now, you're going to be coming down through the Southeast probably in November, right? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll be touring the whole country pretty much.
Mm-hmm. If someone wants to try to book you for a date, or has an idea for you to do a concert or something like that somewhere, you know, how do they go about doing that and getting in touch and setting all that up?
Well, there are plenty of free dates. I mean, there's a lot of dates already set, and I already know, you know, what regions of the country I'll be in, but there are plenty of free dates for every region of the country, and from September through November. And if people just go to davidrovics.com and click on booking, then they can read about it. But basically, they can get an idea from my gigs page where I'll be when. And basically, on the booking page, it'll just give them the email of my booking agent, who they can then, you know, send an email to and you get communicating with about it. But it's not it's not rocket science. If somebody thinks that the music I'm doing is worth getting out there, you know, basically it's a grassroots phenomenon. I mean, you know, people get anything from this interview and from a lot of others, you know, they should understand that this is grassroots stuff, and the corporations, while they, you know, may be involved with it to one degree or another, they're not really promoting this kind of music, and they're not promoting me. And if it's going to get out there, it's a matter of people on a grassroots level organizing shows, putting some time and effort into this sort of thing. And that's a great thing people can do. And on a more less of a commitment level, they can go to a store and buy the CD, which is the way to make a distribution deal have any kind of value. You know, so that's another thing I'd encourage people to do if they don't want to actually go and try to organize a show and do all the work that's involved with promoting a show. If they can just go to a store and buy the new CD and tell a couple of their friends to do it, that can make a huge difference.
I was going to ask him one more thing, John. Then you can have David all you want. He's all mine now. David, two it's terrible. Two places we need you to be, David: Greensboro, North Carolina, and New Orleans, Louisiana. Are you gonna do a show down in New Orleans?
I really want to make it to New Orleans. I haven't been there since Katrina, and I've been, you know, I used to go there quite frequently, and I'd really like to make it back. And I don't know if this tour is going to take me to New Orleans. I don't know if it's going to take me much further south than Atlanta, other than a gig in Houston. But I hope that'll change, and I hope I'll have a show in New Orleans. Greensboro is a likely possibility, but I don't know for sure yet.
Well, just take it from one who lives here that we're working on it, okay?
Oh, great. Please do.
So I've got just up, you know, we may do you know, who knows, the network may be involved in some promotion in this, but I, you know, I'm working right now to try to put something together. So I'll be back in touch with Jen sometime real soon. Okay, John, all yours.
Well, first I wanted to know, are you going to have international distribution?
Yeah, actually, you know, it's Caroline.com, a subsidiary of EMI, and they're going to be distributing it all over North America, Europe, Japan, and Australia.
Excellent. I have a little bit of a relationship with the local JB Hi-Fi here, and
all right.
They are the best. Do you remember Crazy Eddie's?
Yeah.
Okay. Transplant Crazy Eddie's to Australia, and it's like their old record department used to be. And I will point him to you, because
they will presumably be getting a one sheet in the mail that'll say, you know, who I am and that there's this new CD out, and then each record store decides whether they want to order one or two copies of the CD, and based on that one sheet that they get. So, you know, the CD may or may not actually be on the shelves on September 5th, but by September 5th they should have at least gotten a one sheet about the CD, and they should know that it exists.
Excellent. And any out of the ain't that just the way? Any plans to tour outside of the States as of yet, or are you just taking care of the States for now and seeing how you go?
I'll definitely be doing another tour of Europe in the winter, in probably from like early January till early February, and you know, it'll be a sort of the European extension of the Halliburton Boardroom Massacre tour. And I guess when you release a new CD, if you want to really push it, you got to decide where you're going to tour and then tour on it there. So, you know, I guess the real tour is in the fall in the U.S. But for sure, I'll be also touring in Europe in the winter, and I'll be coming to Australia in 2008 with a wonderful Scottish singer-songwriter named Alistair Hewlett. We used to have a band in Australia called Roaring Jack. And so we'll be touring there. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, you're gonna have to stay at John's house.
You're gonna have to come in and at least play for us in the Sydney studio. Awesome. That's really great to hear. I'm stoked. That's great. You know, so aside from touring, are you finding other, you know, aside from us and, you know, the your internet site, are you finding other outlets to try and get exposure, or are you being picked up anywhere else?
Well, I mean, I tour all the time, and most of the time, and so many of the gigs that I get that people are doing are organized by people who heard my music on the web. So certainly that the web has a big effect. I mean, it's, you know, so many factors, you know, affect each other. But you know, the touring, when I tour, of course, I mention my website, and that sends people to the website. So it's all kind of symbiotic. But basically, a lot of the gigs I do are and whole, you know, countries that I do tours of, whole tours, you know, basically happen because of exposure on the internet. So it's
David, how many downloads how many downloads a day, a week, a month, or whatever do you get out of your site as far as your music?
I think it's somewhere around 200,000 a year now since I put them up, put the songs up on SoundClick.com. We're just about at the 500,000 download on SoundClick, and then that's not counting MP3.com.
There should be a way to chart this stuff. I mean, that's, you know, free or paid. I mean, you know, I mean, that has to somehow, we have to find a way to be able to really record and chart this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, you know,
I mean, that's a recordable,
nice.
If you sold that many singles, you'd be
rocking.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. I mean, then that would be like gold or whatever. I mean, you know, and then, of course, so many touring artists like me, I mean, the vast majority of the CDs we sell are sold at shows, which is not charted, which is not, doesn't have any, you know, it doesn't factor in there at all. So, you know, you got to sell the stuff in stores in order to chart. And that's, you know, that's tough to do if you're not getting lots of conventional promotion from people, you know, in among crowds, you know, who typically go to stores and buy CDs. I mean, and that's becoming just something that people don't do so often anymore, with so many other ways of getting material, but that's not reflected at all in how, you know, things are.
But you know, that some of the reading, though, that I've done is that that's not necessarily true when the stuff is good. And I remember there was a really good documentary on the record industry that aired here. It was out of the BBC, I think, a couple years back. And the tour manager for one of the bloody pop bands, one of the good ones, said, you know, the industry moans and complains and bitches about downloads, you know, having taken down sales. But he said, you know what? Yeah, that's part of it, but he says that's not the heart of it. He says, for over the past couple decades, we've just been releasing crap, and the public's keen on it. And then you look at a band like, say, a personal favorite of mine, Tool, who didn't even sign an iTunes deal because it's an album. You buy the whole thing as a piece of work, and that's it. And, you know, the thing goes platinum within days. And for it, you know, and their albums are like that. You know, they harken really back to, you know, progressive rock kind of feel. And so it is a musical journey through the whole thing. And their listeners will seek it out. And I even noticed the last three releases, all they had to do was for like three nights run a very, very simple ad late night on television here, basically showing the album cover, a sample of the music, and the release date. That was it. The album's gone platinum in Australia in a week. Because
I mean, of course, it helps that lots of people in Australia already know who they are and they can afford to do TV advertising. But
it's cheaper here. You know, we are a very small market here. You know, there's only 20 million people here. So it's a very small market. So, you know, for Sony to do something like that, there's a whole lot more music advertisement here. I just wish they were advertising other things.
Yeah.
You know, the latest, you know, Veronica's Can't You Hear We're Pitch Corrected album, you know, will get heavy rotation and be put in ads for every, you know, soap opera that channel 10, you know, the Fox network here will run, and mm-hmm. Almost every real band I worked with has basically put everything on hiatus for the moment. They just are just fed up.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's scary.
Dave, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And you know what? I've got you on speed dial, man.
Hey, all right. Let's talk again.
No, it really, but seriously, it's great to have you back on again. And you know, any way that we can help in getting your music out there to folks, if you know, you just don't hesitate to give me a call or to drop us a line, email, whatever. We'll do everything we can to help.
You bet. Thank you very much. And if you don't have a copy of the new CD, then somebody should be mailing it to you any minute now.
Cool.
Awesome. I'm planning on buying it.
Yeah.
Oh well. That's always.
I'll even pay for the pleasure.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. You know, because the thing is that bottom line is that we got to support each other, and this is one way we can do it. So Dave, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your time with us, and we'll do it again real soon. Let's maybe we can get you in studio one Friday or something when you're coming down 85 here heading to Atlanta. We'll
absolutely. Yep, absolutely. In November, when I'm in the area, I'd love to drop by Greensboro for sure.
Okay. Dave Rowicks, thanks for joining us. John, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say thank you so much, and best of luck, man, with the tour and the album, and can't wait to talk to you next time.
Me too. Thanks for talking to me, y'all.
Okay.
Keep up the good work.
Okay, we will. We definitely will, Dave. And be safe, and you know, don't let any of those NSA freaks get you. Okay.
I'll try to avoid them.
David Rowicks, ladies and gentlemen, coming to us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and telling us, you know, talking about progressive music. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap the show up. This is Bruce and John covering for Bob Kincaid. Head On with Bob Kincaid right here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I've seen you in the markets. I've seen you in the streets and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and ma. I've just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb?
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise. surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. You're back on the Head On with Bob Kincaid, and this is Bruce Birch and John Fox and Bruce and I and John and I have been sitting in for Bob tonight and slowly losing our minds. David Rosen.
You can be forgiven.
I can be what?
I said forgiven? You can be forgiven. You've done a lot of radio. Yeah, you've done a lot of radio this week. For you to be losing your tongue a little bit by the end of Friday night, you know, I reckon you've got latitude there. But yeah, how cool was David, man? He's just always a great guy to have
David's
a chat with.
David's fantastic. Like I said, man, I called him up this afternoon. You know, right after I got your email saying we're going to cover tonight for Bob, and I went, oh, okay, cool. So I called David because because I know how you love music, man. I said, you know, if I get David on, and you know, that'll be an easy half hour for me.
What are you saying, man?
I'm saying that I know you, and I know music, and I know that you and music together, you know, especially. But Dave's just a wonderful guy. He's got a great spirit. And he's truly one of the pioneers, in my view. He's truly one of the pioneers of today's protest music, of today's music that is not, you know, governed by the right-wing propaganda machine. So it's good to have him on board and good to have him around. He's, you know, he's just a great guy all around. So it's good to have him there. Now,
well, and the the fact that he seems to be getting somewhere working outside of the label system. And I think that's a sign of things to come.
I just got an email, John. You know, and it's called "Get Your Criminal Justice Degree, Help Protect Your Country." You think I should do it? I don't think I'm going to do it. Let me delete there. Okay.
Yeah.
That feels better.
Yeah,
no, but seriously, yeah, it is, and he's. And the cool thing about it, what really blew me away, and I finally asked him tonight about the whole free music thing, and it was really cool to get that answer about, you know, well, I'm doing it for free because there's no other way that we can, you know, really make effect a huge. You know, the guy's got 500,000 downloads, man.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
That's
That's just fantastic, you know. And also, you know, he makes me think along the lines of, you know, Michael Ferrante, you know, with, you know, everyone deserves music. And,
absolutely,
you know, no one's truly original. Ozzy Osbourne said it, you know, none of us are truly original, just some of us are better thieves than others. And, you know, copyright law really just needs to – I've had extensive conversations with a friend of mine who, you know, has been in the industry since, you know, Sony was CBS. And all you have to do is look back to the high and mighty CBS days, and it's the same thing. You know, it's absolutely the same thing, and they've devoured everything in their path. You know?
Assimilation is assimilation is imminent. Resistance is futile.
It really is. It's just really sad. And you know, I'm really glad that, you know, he's getting finding a way around. You know, and Prince actually has done a huge amount of groundwork on legal agreements that much better represent the creative elements and the artist, and put more equal responsibility between the label and the artist. And I think it's just, it's the way to go. And some point someone will figure out, and I don't have the answer, how to rewrite copyright law, especially when it comes to use.
Right.
Because it's something that you'll never control. So we got to come up with a different way.
Well, it's my understanding, John, that there's someone in studio that is probably at this point chomping at the bit to get on there. Let's taunt him a little bit. Do you want to? You want to taunt him? Here we go.
Go away, or I shall taunt you a second time.
Do not make me flog you with my trout.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries.
May 1,000 camels come and park in your driveway and urinate on your cat.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the help tonight. And Wednesday night.
No worries, man.
And last night. Well, you know, at least I get a couple of words in to finish the week. Great job. I heard the better part of the David Rovics interview. That's when I walked in. Great guy.
He is.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Absolutely.
And you know, I've been delving a little bit more deeply into his catalog, and there's just some really wonderfully thought-out lyrics there that harken back to, so, like, I don't know, early days of Fleetwood Mac, say.
Yeah.
Just the way they're really nicely
smart,
crafted,
folksy, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, but yet it's still very naturally spoken English. But yeah, you know, it's just nicely put together stuff. And like I said, man, he's a lot of fun to play the guitar bits on a couple of those.
You would know that better than I, because I have claws for hands. I cannot play guitar anymore.
Bob.
Yes.
Where the hell have you been, Bob? Look, I know that you left. Look, we have.
I have been to Gomorrah on the Potomac. I was reminded, yea, verily, of a verse from Scripture as we turned homeward, and that's something out of Psalms, and it says, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills," and I am so glad to be back in the hills.
I can definitely.
I don't. Honest to God, guys, I don't know how human beings live there. And I mean, I'm not being mean. It's, you know, nice people, nice, you know, nice. But, you know, we were driving into D.C. I'm watching people on Interstate 66 westbound who are trying to get home from work, having left work at 4:30, 5 o'clock. It's 9:45, and they're nowhere near home. They're stuck in traffic westbound on I-66.
Yeah,
that's sad.
And they're gonna get home by midnight. They're gonna, you know, maybe sit up, you know, maybe catch the rerun of John Stewart or something, and, you know, get up at 6 o'clock and do it again. I was reminded of one of Sting's lyrics from the Synchronicity album, where he talks about commuters, the trapped like trapped like sardines in shiny metal boxes or something. It was just it was dehumanizing. And I was reminded that Washington, D.C. was put in a swamp for a reason, to keep people out of it. But, guys, thank you so much.
You know, well, our pleasure, man.
Thank you, Bob. It was our pleasure. It was our pleasure.
I'll try to actually do a full week's work next week.
No, you've been working your butt off, so.
Yeah, no, I missed
it. Anything interesting to tell us?
No, just had a bunch of meetings and hope to have more meetings as a result of the meetings we had.
Oh, joy.
And got to finally meet Mark Levine, who is a great guy. And he delivered an address today at the meeting and was got a standing ovation from the crowd.
Cool.
It was all very, very exciting. So, you know, I think there's nothing but potential for the horn to go up like a Saturn rocket. You know, just gathering speed, gathering momentum, changing attitudes, engaging people in dialogue. This is what it's about, guys. This is it.
Well, Bruce, I reckon with that you and I should just say thank you, go away, and let Bob finish things out.
We definitely will. Bob, thank you for letting us cover it, and have a great rest of the show, and we'll be talking over the weekend.
All right, sounds good. The program tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes, whom I missed ferociously while I was gone. It's announced by Brian Reznor. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. The chief engineer for the Head On Radio Network is him who you just recently heard, John Fox, in far, far away Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the streams and the archives and the podcasting of all the programs on the Horn, as well as several other most excellent liberal talk programs. He's still got a fundraiser going on. I got to tell you, if you haven't, do the right thing if you can. If you can't, just, you know, tell other people about the White Rose Society. That's invaluable. Absolutely invaluable. Of course, our news editor at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website is the News Ninja, our good friend, Gene. We appreciate all of his efforts. Everything that you hear on the Head On